Session number 297, Major Christopher Myers. First of three reels originally recorded mono.
Major Myers, reel one.
Sit. First, Christopher, I'd like to congratulate you on this exhibition, which has come out extremely well. I think it was well received too last night at the opening. Is that so?
I hope so, yes. A lot of them, of course, were my friends. They could hardly say otherwise. It was interesting, though, how many of them said they had no idea that Ireland was quite like this. Somehow, whatever you look at on television or whatever you read in the papers, it doesn't have quite the lasting impact of being stuck in a room for an hour or so with 37 paintings, some of which are fairly gory, and quite a few of which show hatred and so on. It was interesting, the effect it had on people, which is actually rather pleasing, because I do rather want people to see what we think is like, anyway.
The exhibition has lots of red stars around, either halves for reservations or full stars for pictures which have been sold.
Yes.
Where have they gone, mostly?
Well, mostly to regiments, some to individuals. All I've really been trying to do is get them to the most appropriate home. And say I've had trouble with one or two other paintings, which a number of people have laid claim to or particularly wanted, and I've really had to let them go to a particular home. Indeed, this morning I got to face the father of a subaltern who got an MC in that night action painting, which indeed you bought. And I'm going to have trouble there, I'm afraid.
Yes, the paintings have mostly gone to regimental museums then?
Not museums. No, none have gone to museums that I know of. No, they're wanted by officers in the messes, you see. If you put it in a museum, not many people in the regiment see it day by day. It's rarely for visitors. But it's rarely in messes, and after all, that's an officer's home.
There are 37 pictures in the exhibition. How did you come to choose these particular subjects?
Well, as I said in the catalogue, I was trying to produce a balanced view of Northern Ireland, both over 4 years, to catch the different types of incident, the different types of countryside and locations, and the different regiments. Now, it's not easy, of course, to get a balanced view, because that's a matter of opinion. But I spoke to an awful lot of people, and I spent a total of 9 months there. And so the combination of speaking to people and seeing things for myself and looking at old photographs, I've built this up and chosen the 37 subjects.
I heard quite a number of people say that the atmosphere of Belfast seemed to be well caught in your pictures. What were you aiming at? Anything special about the quality of the character of that city?
Character of Belfast, yes. Gosh, how could I define it in diplomatic terms? It does have a very special atmosphere, all of its own, if I put it that way. A lot of people, my friends, think I'm absolutely mad, because I have been on record as saying that I think there are many things about Belfast which are attractive. I think this is so. I think the Lower Falls, less so now because so much has been demolished, but before it was demolished, there were many attractive things about it. I think there's little back streets, and I think the little back streets off the Shankill are attractive. I think they have a very strong atmosphere and are very paintable.
There are some things which seem to be directly associated with trouble, like slogans on walls, but I believe those were a feature of Belfast anyhow.
What, before the troubles, you mean? Oh, yes, I know. I've got an Irish godmother, and she certainly remembers going into Belfast in 1941 and seeing in a butcher's shop no Pope here, and she rather wondered what the Pope would want to do there anyway. So it's definitely a thing which has always been.
One of the pictures of Londonderry is a particularly attractive landscape of a high viewpoint looking over the city. The character of Londonderry is rather different from Belfast.
Yes, I think it's a most beautiful place. It really is. I think it's typical of Irish seaports. You know, somewhere up a river, a bit of a hill, beautiful 18th century buildings, in this case, old city walls. And I think the views from the waterside, which that painting was taken from, are absolutely lovely. I had difficulty with that particular painting because there were certain features I was trying to get in it. I was trying to get the Protestant cathedral, which dominates everything. I would like to have had St. Eugene's Catholic cathedral as well, but that wasn't quite possible. I particularly wanted there the Foyle Bridge, because that's such a feature. I mean, so many people have spent so many hours there checking vehicles, and it isn't easy to make a good composition out of it. And because I wanted the foil bridge in on the left, I couldn't put lots of houses in the foreground. But up in the waterside, I think the view across is lovely, because you look across the rooftops of the houses on one side over to the landscape on the other, and the foil sweeping round. And so many points of interest, too. I hadn't quite finished that, and Brigadier David Mostyn, who was commanding then, looked at it and he said, "Hey, you haven't put my submarine booms in." And there they were. And I needed something on the right of the picture, so that was a great help.
Very good. You were impressed with the landscape in Northern Ireland, and there is a group of pictures of landscape as well.
Yes, there is, yes. Yes. I mean, I've roughly divided it into sections. I hope I've given it the right priority. There are 17 paintings of Belfast, 11 of Londonderry, and 9 of the country. And obviously those country ones are chiefly landscape.
You had done quite a lot of landscape painting before, of course.
Yes, in Ireland, but in the south.
One thing you have done in your pictures is to depict different sorts of vehicles. I suppose these were carefully chosen.
Yes, they were. I sat down and made a list of all the features which I wanted to put in the pictures. And the vehicles are really quite distinctive. Some of them distinctive to Northern Ireland, but otherwise purely ordinary military vehicles. The Saladin in the country, which of course isn't allowed to fire its main armament, but I wanted to get that in as a different thing. The Ferret scout car, which are really quite a feature on all the patrols. The pig, well, not so in the country. The Saracen, certainly. And the engineer tractor, the Alice, a barricade remover, really very significant. Codpiece, the mobile fish and chip shop. Think about that, really, was I longed to paint a picture entitled Codpiece.
Yes, you succeeded.
I was actually asked to do it, but I thought the title was such fun. And equipment, of course, that is very special for Northern Ireland. I mean, a whole range of weapons and equipment has been developed specifically for it. The mackerel on shields. In fact, in the earlier picture, the Free Dairy Corner one, you'll see the old-fashioned shields, awful little metal jobs, which weren't really much good. Then the mackerel on replacement, the riot gun, the leg pads, and all those things are peculiar to Northern Ireland. I mean, the army hasn't had them before. There were some things I couldn't show. I gather the quartermaster general and his MA went into Litsum's and bought up their stock of cricket protectors for riots, but I couldn't actually show those.
And some of this equipment was only used then in Northern Ireland?
Oh, developed particularly for it, yes. The rubber bullet, the batten gun, was developed for Northern Ireland.
The picture of a garage with buses in, this is another characteristic of Northern Ireland, soldiers living in very improvised conditions.
That's right. Some of the living conditions are absolutely horrifying. I wasn't there, actually, when they were at their worst. At least when I wasn't able to live in them myself. And I was horrified when I first went out there, because I went to look at the different types of accommodation, because I was particularly asked to paint them. And one place I stayed at, they had one shower for 120 men, and that shower was a converted stand-up urinal. Ghastly. And I put it in the caption on that picture that at the time these people were living in buses as their home, which is not unpleasant because of actually being in a bus, but it's jolly unpleasant being in a bus depot where you've got the fumes of buses around you all day, absolutely ghastly, and the noise when you're trying to catch up on sleep from your activities the night before. All that, I think, was horrifying, and particularly so compared with the living conditions of the internees of Long Kesh, about whom so much fuss was being made.
Yes, quite.
But it really was a stark contrast. And I went out there first, what, December 71. I also particularly remember meeting a man from the press who had himself been in Buchenwald, who was just blatantly angry at the idiotic talk of concentration camps and British injustice and so on, when he knew what real injustice meant. And, of course, if you went to Long Kesh, actually, funnily enough, I hadn't been to Long Kesh, I saw McGilligan. The conditions are very different.
Yes, I suppose the appearance of military vehicles in towns and cities must have been a very strong contrast, something which looks surprising in your pictures.
Yes, one gets used to it in Belfast. It's a horrifying thing there, but if you could imagine Saracens and pigs driving around Chelsea, it's very much like that. It's a terribly emotive thing, of course, It's also a maddening thing if you're living in a place to have Saracens whining around your streets at night. And it is very emotive, and I know how they feel about it. And the size also, of course, is so much magnified in appearance. If you're in little back streets, the one of the markets patrol, that pig, quite sort of swamps the building. So it doesn't, in fact, a pig isn't really a very big thing. And if you saw it in the open, it wouldn't mean very much. But put it in those tiny back streets, and yes, it is really quite a contrast.
The vehicles in the countryside, I suppose, are less dominant, though, again, it looks like a country at war.
Yes, they're much less dominant in the country. And, of course, no time have tracked vehicles been used. They've always been wheeled vehicles. And I think there is a very significant difference in those two things in people's minds, in fact. Apart from the muck a trap makes, there isn't much difference, but there's a great deal of difference in the thought.
One almost feels that some of the pictures of vehicles on the road don't look much more forbidding than a police patrol, though I suppose they were.
Gosh. Well, let me look at some on the road. Yes, I don't know, of course, if they're meant to be forbidding. Well, they're there, of course, to keep peace so that for ordinary, decent people, they have a sense of security that effect is meant to produce.
How many of the pictures to take another tack did you actually do on the spot? Some of them, I suppose, you either began or did actually complete on the spot, while others you had to work from other sorts of notes and photographs.
Yes, it really was a problem. And, of course, it was much more of a problem when I first went out there in the first year than it would be now, because the situation is so much better now than it was then. I mean, to give you an indication, when my battalion went over there in August 72, we took over from a battalion which had had 10 killed and 48 wounded in 4 months. Now, those figures are pretty startling, and with those sort of figures for casualties, you can't hang around, obviously. But other places I could. Where possible, I did as much as possible on the ground. There were difficulties about travelling myself and having time and so on, and I had to work much more from photographs than I would have liked. Certain of the locations simply aren't the same now as they were at the time I'm depicting them. I mean, whole buildings, whole streets have been wiped out and changed. Well, Londonderry has changed to a startling degree, and the picture of Agro Corner is a complete mock-up, and it was quite hard to discover what Bradley's Bar actually looked like. I only hope I've got it right. No one said I haven't. They ought to be rude enough to point it out if I haven't, anyway. I used there to go out on patrols myself in uniform. I used to take photographs. I used to talk to people. I'd make a lot of notes. I'd work up sketches from them. I looked at old press photographs. But, of course, I had to be very careful that I didn't, in fact, use anything directly from one. I mean, I had to use it for facts and views which I couldn't have been able to see otherwise. And then I think I worked out 50 different sketches, and they were very rough indeed. People who saw them then, certainly, a little surprised when they see the finished product, because I wasn't going to waste any time on getting an attractive-looking sketch. I merely wanted facts. And I then chose 37 and built them up. And I would confer with people as much as possible. I mean, the brigade commander of Londonderry Brigade let me put them all out in his office and said, well, I'd cut that out, and that out, but I put this, this, and this in. And so one, I hope, got the right subjects to get the right balance. And then when I had got the sketches and chosen the 37, I transferred them to the actual boards which these are painted on. And I took those boards with the completed drawing, half-done drawing, to the spot, and I would alter it there, stay for a few minutes, and then go. And then I would take it back at various stages. And the country ones, for instance, I was able to sit down with a bit of country in front of me, if not the right country. Balik, I was able to sit there. I reckon that, you know, if they were looking at me from the southern border, which they could easily have been doing, because it was only, you know, just across the river, well, it would take them some time to work out. I wasn't, in fact, just an artist. And some of them, of course, are indoors. The intensive care ward in the Royal Victoria Hospital, I used to go there in the middle of the night a lot. And the Europa Hotel, I spent quite a lot of time in there painting. Some of it was spent painting, anyway.
And the proportion of pictures that you did do part of the work on the spot. Very high, I think.
Yes, it is, actually. Opal.
You must have used a lot of news photographs as a basis for your study of particular topics.
Yes, for reference, I certainly did. I looked through, I think it was the Belfast Telegraph's library. I spent a day there, simply going through them all. Because otherwise one didn't really know quite what it was one was trying to capture in the earlier stages of the Troubles. You see, they have changed so much, and in this way I've been very lucky because I've seen it over a period of time. But the problem when I went there in 72 was the sniper and the gunman, which is both much more dangerous and much more unpleasant than the rioting, and also, of course, more difficult to paint. I mean, you can't basically paint snipers and gunmen because you don't see them until somebody's actually been shot, and that's that. And even then, of course, you don't see the sniper. So one was recreating things, and the only way to do it was to look back at old photographs.
So you must have looked at hundreds of photographs.
Yes, only on that day, actually. Now, I suppose I spent about, call it 2 days, simply looking at photographs, yes.
And then, were there any privately taken photographs you referred to as well?
Oh, yes. Well, photographs taken by army people. Some, yes, photographs taken by individuals, regiments. A lot of photographs I took myself. Because I had to sit back, eventually in Shoeburyness, working on the sketches. And I had to have the references. No good sitting in Shoebridge saying, what does such and such a place look like? No amount of imagination does any good. You're trying to capture the place.
Yes, in the Imperial War Museum Photographic Library, we've got quite a lot of coverage of the Northern Ireland situation, but this is all official photographs, and I rather doubt whether we've got as complete a picture as we might have photographically.
What do you mean, you've got army photographs?
Yes.
Oh, this is hopeless. You see, when I first went out there, my sponsors were public relations. I mean, General Tews has said, look, that is the branch of the headquarters.